music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and we are very excited to welcome Montreal-born recording artist Alicia Credi to the show, talking about her EP called Selfless. Alicia talks to us about her musical journey, having to leave her hometown of Montreal to move to Los Angeles for her career to go forward, and why she would love to switch places with Usher for one day. We then dip into our vintage vault for a conversation with American singer-songwriter Gail, talking about the success of her hit song, ABCDEFU.
Listen anytime, anyplace, just a click away. KellyAlexanderShow.com.
So excited to welcome this young lady to the show. She is doing amazing things. She's dropped her EP called Selfless, and I cannot wait to speak to you. Alicia Credi, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tell us what it was like growing up in Laval with regards to your music career. Like, did you always know you wanted to be a musician?
Yes, I did always know that I wanted to be a musician. I always had vivid memories, and not memories, like dreams. And I'm really like a daydreamer. So, you know, I mean, at least the early years of me growing up in elementary school, I was always dreaming of singing. I was always dreaming of being on a stage. For me, it was like seeing me at like the Bell Center, like in the center, you know, that was like my vivid like picture in my brain. And I sung any chance that I had. Like, I sung in church. I sung, you know, I did every talent show that I could possibly do. Like, I tried out every single talent show that I could do and never actively pursued it professionally, though. That's more the gag of it all. But that was later on, like, as I got older and was studying in university.
You went to Villa Maria, right? And then you went to Dawson and then John Molson School at Concordia.
That's it.
Tell us what you were in at John Molson School of Business.
So that's it. So I was literally, I first went into actuarial mathematics. I dropped out after 2 days. And then I switched and I did finance. And I finished in finance, but I had met my manager virtually at the top of the pandemic, and pretty sure it was in 2020 when the schools shut down. And I remember being in the library, and me and my cousin were there, and, you know, we were kind of hearing this rumor of, like, the school's going to close, like, the pandemic's getting bad. This was, like, right at the beginning. And we're talking about this, and we have exams, and my friend's telling me, like, after 13 hours of studying, we literally have a finance exam, like, the next day. She's like, just go and post on TikTok. Like, anyone could go viral. Like, just do it, you know? And it's, like, reminiscent of, like, the girls' bathroom drunk conversation. I'm like, okay, fine, I'm gonna do it. And I did go viral, and that's what got me connected to my manager, who lives in LA, but she's from the Bay. And we started working together virtually, and, you know, it really just took like that one person to believe in me. It really felt like to have me feel courageous enough to like full send it and 180 switch, because for a long time, I didn't really feel empowered to do this professionally. I felt this pressure to, you know, finish my degree, which I did it. But, you know, that's kind of what I mean. Like, I felt this pressure to, you know, go into a more traditional career path. Like, my parents are Italian. Like, my grandparents are, they immigrated here in, like, the 60s. So it was always this better life, very risk-averse mindset. And me being in finance, you would think that I should also be risk averse. But when it comes to myself, I think that you're always worth the risk, you know, like when you're betting on yourself. So that's the only time that I think people should take risks.
Well, you're probably going to be one of the only artists that is good with their money.
I hope so.
Fantastic. Who did you listen to growing up? And do you find that those artists play a part in the sound that you produce today?
Ooh, so I grew up listening to all kinds of different stuff that I'm sure have influenced me. I feel very gravitated towards darker and richer sound selection. So I started listening a lot to, say, The Weeknd's early Project Trilogy. That was a big one in high school for me. I grew up listening to, you know, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, but my first loves were always in R&B and in soul, and it was Stevie Wonder, Usher, Beyonce, Jennifer Hudson is like literally like the topic of conversation in my household like for like the my whole first 10 years, and me and my mom would always watch Dreamgirls and I'd be like singing along. So I was just always a fan of powerhouse vocals that I could feel. So that's kind of just, I guess what got me started in my own journey. But it was actually a lot of YouTubers at the time. Like it was really like a YouTube generation when I was about like 10. And I was watching Christina Grimmie a lot and felt so, so inspired by her that I ended up learning the piano. My mom was like, yeah, let's get her in piano lessons. Like, it's going to make her good at math. I read that somewhere. So I'm like, great. You know, like always like the other way. But I was like, no, I love this. And, you know, I just kind of did it for myself for a sec. But
playing the piano, how important is that to you? Is that like an extension of your being?
Oh, literally. It's like my origin story. Like, I feel like it was always just like me, the piano, just, you know, trying to sing some songs for whoever was willing to listen. And at the time that was, you know, talent shows and Odd Villa. I sang at mass like all the time, or assembly or whatever it was where there was a piano that I can like creep in. And like, I'm telling you, like literally any chance I had, I took it.
Talk to us about making the decision to leave Montreal and go to Los Angeles. Like, how exciting and or scary was that?
I grew up in, well, living in Laval, but always commuting to Montreal. And this is kind of where I've been my whole life and all that I've known. So I never anticipated moving to, you know, the States, especially LA. And, you know, when I met my manager, we spoke about having to potentially move in the future, depending on how things are moving, because we're on a mission, you know? So we gotta, when we were talking about this, it probably happened like a year later that I ended up signing to Atlantic. So with that caused the move. And so when that happened, it was really hard, to be honest. Like it was definitely the hardest year of my life to be away from my family, and especially in another country. And it felt like the most drastic changes all happened in my life at the same time. So it was just very difficult to kind of like recognize my surroundings. And it's like a bit like destabilizing in that way, but it's also been incredible for music making. And it really just takes like a sec to kind of get installed. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to be away from family. So
what do you miss the most when you're there apart from your family and friends? Like, what do you miss the most from Montreal and or Laval when you're in Los Angeles?
Oh my God, the food. I miss, one, the home-cooked meals, and I miss the Korean food. I miss Ganadara, and I miss Samcha so much. Those are literally my go-to spots.
So it's just not the same.
It's not the same, but it's good. It's just, you know, it's very different. And I don't know, it's kind of interesting too. I feel like all the Canadians end up finding each other.
I've heard that before from other Canadian artists that have gone down there. There's like, it's like you all kind of find each other like a homing signal or something.
That's it. And it's also, it's such a beautiful community of creatives in LA that I feel just so grateful to have, that is, you know, it's really nice and everybody supports each other. So it's just difficult moving somewhere alone.
Has your family or friends gone down to visit you while you're there?
So my mom's come a few times. My dad's going to come this year, and I'm trying to get my brother out, but it's just a little harder because he's autistic. So it kind of depends on like scheduling and what's going on. And but hopefully he's going to be out soon. And he's at the show tonight, so I'm excited for that.
Amazing. Now we have to talk about your EP, Selfless. Can you explain why it's /less?
So I actually wrote this song about a difficult conversation that I had with my brother, which was, you know, kind of prepping him for the fact that I would need to leave or move away eventually. And I, you know, I just sat him down, and it was something like 2 a.m. and he calls me into his room in Montreal, and he just kept repeating over and over, like when I told him, sorry, I'm skipping ahead. When I told him, I'm going to have to move, you know, to another country because I want to be a singer like the girls that you see on TV. And he just kept repeating, like, you're going to take a plane and not a car. How come it's a plane and not a car? Are there key cards there? Like, things that, like, I'm going on a vacation. And I'm like, no, like, it's just a key. And this conversation genuinely was the hardest I ever had because me and my brother are extremely close. Like I said, like, strong Italian family values. But also, he's my best friend. So I just feel like I spent my whole life putting everyone before me, and so much so that I just didn't make the cut. And I thought that if I didn't do this, that I would be selfish. But I ultimately found myself feeling selfless. And that's kind of where the dash came. Like, I needed an identity. And I just kind of always felt very, like, divided in myself, being like, I really want to pursue this. And if it works out, I can, you know, I got my fam, like, we're good. But I don't know if that's going to happen. And constantly, actively pursuing the opposite throughout my life. Like, in Villa, I went into sciences. At Dawson, I went and I did peer and applied, and then I ended up switching out and I went and I finished in social just to do the same mistake again in actuarial. Like, I was always, like, pushing the opposite way. But in some other news, he has adjusted quite well. And so I think it's just a testament to, you know, it being essential to put yourself first. And I don't think that it's selfish at all. I think it's just, it's hard. And, you know, you want to be close to your family, but you have to do what you love in life, I think. And if you have a dream, you should follow it.
I think more people should, you just gave a masterclass in what people should realize for themselves. So I think that's, and I think that speaks to you as an artist, because I think artists, depending on who they are, and I feel like you're a very sensitive person. And so, yeah, okay. But you're tough from Laval. So do you have a favorite song on the EP? I'm sure that's a stupid question because they're all your babies, but, like, do you have one that, like, sort of sticks out?
I do have a fave. My fave is Epiphany. It's it was so much fun to make. I just love the way that it was kind of created. It was like after a session that had finished, I had the room for like another few hours and I just started jamming at the piano and ended up coming up with some of the melodies and some of the lyrics. And, you know, the core of the piano emerged in like the end of the session. I called up my friend Mark and I was like, what are you doing right now? Can you come to the studio in like 20 minutes? And he came through and we started writing the intro. And it was originally going to be a song. And I was like, I think this is the one for the switch up. And then we all got in the other day and we ended up finishing like the rest of the song. And it's really just kind of like divided in three parts and ends with my nana, who's giving this speech that is really just kind of like her spiel that she tells all of her grandkids. And so it was just so special when I showed her and when I showed like all of my cousins, because they said, like, we've had this conversation with her so many times and she's here tonight too. And so, yeah, I'm just really glad that it's really just like a song and honestly, entire project that is very, very close to home. It is really just about kind of like catching everybody up on the story of my life so far. And hopefully I learn my lesson eventually.
So I like to end things with what I like to call fast facts so that your fans and new fans can know a little bit more about you. Finish this sentence. The best thing about Montreal is
food.
Who is the coolest person in your phone apart from your family and friends?
Keeping.
Go, girl. That's hot. I like that. What is always in your fridge?
Probably butter.
Yeah, but you're Italian. That makes sense, right?
No, like, honestly, because I'm like just in and out and all over the place, like sometimes she's packed, sometimes she's not. But the butter's always there.
When you think about like Laval and Montreal, do you think you will move back home one day? Or do you think you're now in Los Angeles for the long haul?
No, I think I would move back. I would love to, you know, like if I'm going to settle down and have family, like I'd love to live in Montreal or maybe even Toronto because there's, you know, some studios there. But if we're talking long in the future, like I would just hope to, yeah, have, you know, some community starting in Montreal and maybe we can have a studio.
I love it. Can you give a piece of advice to young, up and coming, let's say Montreal artists? And I say Laval, you know, South Shore, whatever, somebody who was dreaming in their bedroom like you. What do you want to tell them, especially being here in the Montreal area?
Think that if this is a dream of yours, you need to chase it and don't let literally anybody, whether it's your, you know, your family or your friends or whoever you're surrounded by, like your school institution, any kind of outward pressure that you have that's making you feel like this is not a possibility because of where you live. It's not true. The internet is huge. Use it to your advantage, and collaboration is key. Like, use each other. I think that we have so many dope creatives in this place that if they all, you know, just meet each other and talk to each other, like, it can go boom. And I think that that's really the key. And yeah.
Amazing. That's a great piece of advice. Two good questions for you. Dream collaboration. Who is it?
Drake.
If you could switch places with another artist or producer for one day, who would it be and why?
Oh my God.
To see what their life is like for one day.
That's such a good question. I'm not sure. I'd say maybe Usher, just because I want to know what it's like to dance like that and sing like that.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We are super excited to welcome Texas native and recording artist Gail to the show. Gail has had so much success with her hit song ABCDFU, not to mention recently releasing her debut EP. Gail, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi.
Is this your first time talking to a Canadian?
This is actually not my first time talking to a Canadian, but if it helps, I'll say yes.
Okay. That's amazing. We're super excited. We love your song. We have so much to talk about. First of all, I just wanted to ask you, did you know, like, really early on, I know you're only like 17, but did you know early on that music was going to be your path in life?
Yes. I didn't like know I'd be successful in it, but I knew that I was going to try really, 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 really hard to be successful in it. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, especially in this point where I'm like, I'm successful. I would say I've had success that I'm trying to continue. And, you know, I'm just trying to like keep my head down and do what I do. But I started singing when I was 7. Like, I honestly fully dedicated my life to music when I was 7. I saw this compilation of Aretha Franklin singing, and like watching her perform and watching her sing, I just knew. I was like, I felt something that I never felt before. And I was like, that's it. That's what I want to do. Like, that is it. And I've just kind of stuck to it since.
That's awesome. Now, has your family and friends been supportive right from the start?
My mom was 100%, like, has always supported me, never made me feel like I had to do anything I didn't want to do, which I'm very grateful to her for. My brother, absolutely not. He's 2 years older than me. So he's like the like too cool brother, and like any opportunity he had to make fun of me for doing music, he would take. Like, he was just so like, no, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, until one day I played him my music and then he didn't absolutely hate it. But even my friends, like my Texas friends, thought I was stupid. They're like, that's dumb. And I was like, well, thanks. Like,
and so when you made the move to Nashville, like, how was that on the family? Because like, did they move for you?
They did move for me. I'm very lucky. My brother at the time was, so at 12, I moved, and then my brother was just starting to get into high school, and we put him on the football team. So he was like the mysterious new boy who played football. And we felt like that was the best way to just like set him up for success in high school. And then I was homeschooled at the time, and my mother worked from home, and we moved, and then I had a stepdad at the time. I no longer have a stepdad, but at the time, he moves to Nashville with us. And then my grandmother moved like a month or two later to Nashville. And then a couple months later, my uncle moved to Nashville. Like, we literally just like, my family moved to Nashville, and everybody was like, no, I like Nashville. I'll go.
That's awesome. Now, what's been the best experience so far in your music career? Like, what stands out for you? Like, I can't believe this has happened moment.
Jimmy Fallon was pretty crazy. I'm not gonna lie. That was like, plus like my best friend and her brother went. And so my best friend's younger brother is best friends with my older brother. And so we all went. And so we're just like, we love hanging out in a group. And my mom was there. And like, it was just in New York. And I'd seen that show ever since I was a little kid. Like, ever since I known it existed, I wanted to be on that show. And like, I pretended to be on that couch for so many months and years. And like, to even just do that was crazy. To make a TikTok with Jimmy Fallon was like, I was like, excuse me. Like, no, that's crazy. So that was a pretty surreal moment.
Do you find that you are in a bit of a bubble in a way, because like, you've had all this success, like we're playing your song up here in Canada, it's being played like all over the planet. And I'm sure you have like a gajillion things to do every day, whether it's like writing new music or working on your EP and now doing press. Like, do you think you're in a bubble? Are you able to enjoy any of the success right now, or is it just a blur?
I mean, yeah, I feel like it's also like, how do you enjoy success? Do you just sit and revel in it? Or do you like, I feel like a bit of enjoying the success is doing stuff like this, you know, like maybe 8 to 10 months ago, I wouldn't have been able to do an interview like this, or to even like have an hour of interviews in a row, or even to do a show, or even to get in some of the specific rooms. I feel like doing those things is enjoying the success of it. But yeah, I mean, I get to like have fun with my friends and like, you know, I get to lay in bed and like watch Netflix and like do all of that stuff, or even just like traveling. I feel like that's also really enjoying that as well. Like I know for a fact, if everything that's happened with ABC, like I would not have been able to do the tour that I'm doing if that hadn't have happened. And that's very exciting. And even that is just like enjoying the success and enjoying the traveling and enjoying the privilege and honor it is to get to like do live music, because live music is very much on demand. So like newer artists, it's kind of harder to be booking stuff because so many artists that are in bigger spots have already booked the venues and had to reschedule things and have had to move things. So it's like, it's hard to like get into venues and be able to do all of that. And so it's such a privilege to be able to do it. And like, that's so exciting. And I'm so honored. And I think, yeah, I'm still coming to terms with everything. Like the last thing I ever want to be is egotistical, like to really be like that person, you know? And I guess my coping mechanism for not being egotistical or trying really, really hard not to be is not accepting success or not acknowledging it. You know, like I called ABC a hit song the other day and it just felt wrong. I was just like, eh. I've yet to just confident be like viral. Like, no. Like, I feel like I'm lying when I say it.
I have to ask you actually about ABC being a hit song, because I'm always fascinated to know, like, when an artist has a song that becomes a hit, if you knew in your gut it was going to be a hit, did you know?
No. I feel like Dave and Sarah knew more than I did. And I think the thing behind it too is I feel like as a songwriter, you can know something's going to be successful more than the artist, because when you're the artist, your face is behind it. Like, you are the one saying it. Like, other people helped come up with the words. Like, I did not write ABC by myself. I would not have been able to write that song without the two people I wrote it with. And like, I'm the one like saying the words. Like, when people even think of not liking the song, they aren't necessarily thinking of the two writers and the two other writers that helped write the song, which I'm grateful for. Like, I'm glad people aren't thinking of their faces, but like, I think it was more pressure of being like, oh God, are people, cause I felt like it was one of those ideas where people could either love it or hate it. And when you feel like somebody could feel passionately about something, that's great. Like, I'd rather people absolutely hate ABC then feel nothing towards it, because art is supposed to make you feel things, whether it's negative or positive or anything. Even if you hate it, I made you feel something. So I'm like, ha, it's my one little. But yeah, I think because I had the thought of like, okay, I'm gonna have to sing this, I'm gonna have to make a music video for this, I'm gonna have to try and do a single cover, how am I gonna do the Instagram rollout of it, how am I gonna like get people to know that has a song? Because also, as an artist, you have to let people know the song exists. As a writer, that's not your job. As an artist, you have to be like, hello. This. So I was also more of like, okay, great. They think it's a hit. How am I going to let people know it's one? How am I going to like, let people find that out, you know? And I guess that was also a bit more stressful and like a stress that sometimes the other writers don't have to deal with as much, you know?
Mm-hmm. When you actually, you talked about feeling stuff. Where were you and how did it feel the first time you heard ABC on the radio?
I filmed the first time I heard on the radio. So you kind of like when you have to hit specific marks to get a song on the radio. So like, especially when you're an up and coming artist, like this was my first single. A record label's not going to take a single to the radio when you're nothing, when you're nobody. Like if your song has yet to like prove that people would like it, they're just not going to, that's just like not at least how that was working for me. And so then I knew it had to get a specific amount of streams a day to just be able to take it to the radio and be like, people actually like this song, you know? And I remember I was told like it hit the marks. We're going to put it on the radio. And it was kind of during like Christmas time. It was like, December-ish. And if not like a little bit before that. And I was told it was playing at 2:00. And so I was like, great. But turns out this station literally has a thing called new music at 2:22.
Okay.
But I didn't know that. So I was told it's playing at 2:00, but it definitely played at 2:22. So there's over 22 minutes of footage on my phone of me dragging my neighbor into my car, my brother and my mom. And we sat there for 22 minutes and listened to other people's songs and ads. And I told people, I was like, yo, get in your car at 2:00. To listen to this. And then they're like, okay. And then I made them listen to the songs for 2 minutes, which is so embarrassing. But it was also on me for like, duh, new music at 2:22, that would be the new music they'd be playing. And it was so, like, I cannot tell you the feeling I got when it literally was just like, up and coming Nashville artist with her new song. And I remember the way he enunciated, he said like A, B, C, D, E, S, U, Gale. And then it started playing. And I was just like, I was so excited. I looked at my neighbor and like, we are, I think she's a year older than me. Like we're roughly the same age. And so I've gone through like high school with her. She just got to college. And like, I just gave her this look of like, we're looking at each other. And then I look at my brother and he's playing Madden on his phone. And I was like, pay attention.
That's hilarious.
My mom was so sweet. It's just so happy.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. I know we're almost out of time. I have a couple of quick questions for you. Yeah. I call it Fast Facts with Gail. Who is the coolest person in your phone apart from your family and friends?
Job not.
That's cool. That wins. How important is being able to play musical instruments? Because I've seen you play guitar. I've seen you play piano. Like, where does that lie in your wheelhouse of importance?
For me, I find it personally important just for performances, just because the songs I play when I'm like hitting the guitar as hard as I possibly can, so much fun. Like, it's just so much fun. Like, I have such a good time. And like, I really love playing piano and it's a really big part in for me writing music, but I've also seen people that are so like such talented, creative people that don't know how to play instruments. So I think it's like not, I think it's important if it's important to you, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to know how to play an instrument, but like most of it is even like National Writers Rounds, you have to know how to play an instrument to be able to play them. So I feel like when it comes to that stuff, yeah, it's important, but like you don't need it if you can like be good without it.
Who is on your bucket list of wanting to collaborate with, like another top 40 pop artist?
Ooh. I'm trying to think. I mean, like there's a lot of artists I would love to collaborate with, but I also feel like there needs to be like a right time and a right moment. And there's some art, like there's a few artists that I'm particularly thinking of, but like I also have their number. And I feel like me just like saying on an interview, being like, I'd love to collaborate with them instead of just texting and having the balls to ask, you know, but I would say there's an artist, Biba Doobie, that I absolutely love. And, that I feel like I would really, really love to collaborate them. Glass Animals. I feel like that would be so much fun. Like to even just like write a song with them would be awesome. And then, Julie Michaels also is.
She's a rock star. She's a rock star. She's crazy. Incredible. Do you have a message for your Montreal fans? I know you haven't visited our city yet, but what do you want to say to your Montreal fans?
Taking care of yourself is more difficult than people can realize sometimes. And if that's all you do in a day, that's great. And if all you did in a day is feel sorry for yourself and lay in bed, you got through a day. And days can be monotonous and they can be long and they can be difficult. If you just got through that, that's great. And like, be nice to yourself, because sometimes people can forget.
Amazing. And last question, what do you want people to take away from your brand new EP, A Study of the Human Experience, Volume 1?
It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying make the mistakes that I've made, but if you have, it's okay.
Amazing. Gail, you've been so much fun. I just want to thank you for being awesome and for spending time with us. And we wish you like all the best.
Thank you. Thank you for being so lovely. I appreciate it.
Amazing. That is Gail. Don't forget to follow her on all of her social media accounts. Gail on Instagram.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
As always, thank you very much for spending time with us on the program this week. And a big thank you going out to our guests, Alicia Credi and Gail. I also want to give a big thank you to our producer, Andrew Sabino, for doing a wonderful job putting the show together. And don't forget that you can follow us on all of our social media handles. Just hit up our website, kellyalexandershow.com, for all the details. Have an amazing week. You and I will chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show.